Hello. Can everyone hear me? I'm doing well. I was in a lot of pain. I think the anesthetic didn't work as well this time. Like it wasn't painful during the extraction, but like afterwards. Like almost immediately afterwards, I started feeling like a like soreness. Yeah, I started feeling a little bit sore, and then afterwards it became kind of pretty painful. So I just went to bed. I had some painkillers and then I went to bed. Yeah, I think maybe my body got used to the aesthetic, and then it like made it go away pretty fast. I don't know. Or it's possible that the spot that they injected it into didn't reach a specific nerve or something. So then it wasn't numbing all of the pain. Like it left like some nerves open or something. I don't know if that's a thing, but it's like I felt some of the solution leaking when the surgeon was like injecting it. So then maybe that's why. Like not everything went in, so it's rough after you recover from one extraction, then you get another one. Right. Well, at least that's the last one. I won't have any others after this, so that's good. Yeah. Oh, but it was nice getting nap since I had to wake up fairly early, 2 days in a row. Yeah, we're not in too much pain. I'm a lot better now after I slept. And I think the wound healed a little bit while I was sleeping. Yeah, it's been a busy week, really. Whew, I feel like I haven't had a moment to rest. A lot's going on. I mean, it's good stuff, but yeah. Oh yeah. I think I got. Oh, hold on. I'm in bed, but I'm gonna go to my PC. I think I got the draft back for one of my art for a cover I was working on. Let's see. どこだっけ? Oh, okay. It's the one for. Oh, kawaii! Oh, it looks really good. Oh. Oh, this looks kind of nice. Okay. Hold on, I'm gonna type the reply. Ooh. Think this looks fine. I always like look at the picture for 1 second and I'm like, it's fine or it's not fine, but then I feel like I wanna look more closely. Ooh. Ooh, the dress looks really pretty. Oh my gosh, should I ask them for side boob? Looking at this dress right now. It looks like it'd be really easy to get some. They only need to change the cut of that dress a little bit. Yes. Yeah, on first glance it looks fine and then you try to look closer. Yeah, I try to be a little more detailed in the way I look at pictures now, but what did you get to eat? I had some soup pasta with tomato sauce earlier. Okay, I'm gonna ask them to add. Okay, this is on Fiverr. Add annotation. I put an annotation on the booba area, and I'm gonna say, This looks great. Okay. Let me see. That's one annotation. Let me see if I need anything else. Hold on. I'm gonna look at the original. これってど、なんだっけ? It's like, which Vocaloid song is this? I think it's this one. Let me just check the original a little bit. No! Japanese typing, please! Okay. Oh, wow, the sun is rising behind this girl's butt in the original. Okay, hold on. Oh, okay, they do have it. It just looks so faint. Okay. どうしようかな。Separate layer PSD. Okay. Okay, I think this is good. This is good for feedback. I'm curious what you're looking at. It's just the art for one of my upcoming covers. Everything else looks good. The hand, is the hand the correct? Okay, hand is correct. Foot is correct. Everything looks correct. The feather is there. Okay, everything else looks good to me. Submit to comments. Okay. Great. Add it to annotations. Okay, this. The face looks fine this time, actually. This person's done a couple of pieces for me. They're pretty good. Like they're very nando, ante suru. They're very stable in the way that they draw. Like, it's the same artist that did the art for me and Reina's cover. Their style feels very proportional. The number of teeth. Imagine smiling and being able to see every single tooth. I don't think that's something. You know how they take those like X-ray photos at like the dentist, and like you can see like your whole jaw, and like all the teeth and all the shape of the teeth in it. So like so then like, but then they lay it out right, because your jaw is like curved, but then in the X-ray photo it looks like flat. So you're like, wow, it looks like a really like long jaw. But then I could also see like, oh, like one side of the gum looks longer than the other or whatever, probably because I only have three wisdom teeth, and one side never grew any wisdom teeth. And then maybe that side didn't have as much gum developed at the end or something. I don't know. That's how I feel like it is. Okay, I just took out my new wisdom tooth. I just remembered I was gonna make a thumbnail, like a silhouette thumbnail. I might need to wash this one more. It has a bit of a. It's a little red, this one. I wonder if it can be. Oh, it smells very disinfected. I wonder if washing it would get rid of the color though. Who's that Pokemon style? Exactly. It's what Foodie-chan suggested. That should be fun. It's stained from the blood. Yeah, I think it's stained. I wonder if I can remove it or whatever. Ooh, it feels very polished at the top. Show it as is. It's pretty gross looking. I usually try to edit it a bit. Make a tooth necklace? I really do not want the tooth necklace. I really would like to not have a necklace with my teeth on it. I started planning a new cover with one of the Gen 3 girls recently. We were talking about it yesterday, actually. We chose a song, and we asked management to commission us some art already. So, and then we already split the lyrics. It should be fun. Yeah. No filter. Yeah. Hashtag no filter, but I totally edited it. Make earrings? Oh my God. No. A phone app to beautify, extract the teeth. I'm pretty sure any phone app could do that. Any like photo editing phone app could do that. I use Snow in Japan. The phone app Snow takes really beautified pictures, and you could also beautify your edit like things like that on the phone. My last patient took his piece home for that and called it his trophy. Really? I took mine home so that I can do my tooth reveal stream. I was like, oh, I can show that on stream. Yes, please give me the tooth. Well, I'm also interested to see what it looks like. That's why. Yeah. Start planning a cover with one of the Gen 3 girls. It should be pretty cool. Cause we were saying like, oh, it'd be really cool if we can like have this art together. She told us she calls you Big Sis. Oh, that was actually really random when she like brought it up. And I was like, yeah, sure, you can. But then I was like, why? It was like one of the first times we ever spoke. And then she was like, Lua, can I call you One-san? And I was like, sure. Like my answer right away was like, because I am like the older sister in my family. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. I don't really care. Sure. And then I was like, but why? It was pretty funny. Yeah, I remember that. First VTuber to have an individual tooth reveal. You know what? That might be true. That might be true. Always thinking of the content. Lua isn't excited enough. Wait, what do you mean? I've been a big sis my whole life. I have big sister energy because I am. I literally have two younger siblings. It's just how it is. I also have like the nervous type personality where I prefer to like just have everything planned out and stuff. She was saying you were coming. Yeah. I said yeah, and then I was like, oh, but how come? I was like, but why? It was pretty funny. But yeah. I have a big bro, but I have no big bro energy. Oh, I can see that being the case. I think it kind of depends on who I'm with as well. Yeah. It kind of depends. Yeah, although I definitely have a I'd say I'm more of a nervous personality because, you know, some people are really chill, and even if like things go wrong, they can kind of they don't worry about it. Like they're like, oh, there's nothing I can do about it now, so I'm not gonna think about it, right? Like when things go wrong. But I'm more the type of person where if things go wrong and it's not resolved like right away, I'm the type to like lie awake thinking about it, even though there's nothing I can do about this problem like right now. I'm the kind of person to try and find a way. I think I'd like to say I'm solution oriented to a fault, because sometimes I when things go wrong, I'm so focused on making things right again, like fixing something, that I don't really think about the I don't really think about how I feel about it. Like if something bad happens to me, I'm so focused on kind of fixing it and trying to move on from it that I don't really think about how I feel about it. So then sometimes if something sad happens, it's happened to me before, but like sometimes like years later I'll be like, oh God, that was actually that's pretty messed up a few years later. And then I'm like, I have a brief moment where I'm like, oh, I'm actually kind of sad about that, but then just move on after. I'm not very introspective, maybe, is how I would say that. Yeah. You've been a big sis your sibling's entire life, not your entire life. That is true. That is true. Yeah. Compartmentalizing emotions. Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe. But it's like, yeah. Yeah, I tend to try to I get over stuff pretty quickly. But it's like not because it was I don't know, or I try to find the solution rather than complain about it, you know? Because I want to be productive about problems rather than throw a tantrum about it and not being able to solve it. Like I'm always like I don't know. It's kind of like how when I dropped clothes behind the washing machine, immediately I was like, how am I what is the what is something that is long and thin that I could use to pick something up? Because obviously like a like those like long like garbage pickup sticks that janitors use would be nice. But I don't have that. So what is something in my house right now that I can use to pick this up? And I was like really focused on that for 5 minutes. I couldn't do anything else until I picked up the clothes from behind the washing machine. So then I finally was like, yes, my umbrella, that's perfect. And then I was like fishing it out from behind the machine. It's better than spending hours finding who to blame. Right, exactly. I think it's just really important to put yourself in the right mindset where I think it's like it's productive. When you're faced with these, I'm very, very decision oriented, maybe. Because I think of a lot of things as a like it's an intersection where you have to make a choice, and it's either one choice or the other, and so then it's not. I don't know. It's not like, oh, you part with the other choice when you make one choice. But you just make this decision and then you go. A business person right now. I sound like a business person. But that's what I am. I work. It's nice to step back and think for a second. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Think of a way to pick up. No. Okay, you also have to think of your own limitations, right? Because I tried. Okay, my first reaction was to try and move the washing machine to see if I can like move it enough to go behind it. But then I started doing that and then I was like, "Oh crap, I might not be able to move it back to its like original location." So then I gave up and I returned it. And then I had to think of a different solution. If it works, it works. Yeah. A business boob. I don't really like to present myself in that way. I don't really like to present myself in that way because even if I were to know better, I prefer to be more fun. Remove the wall. Oh, that's very out of the box. But you still have to think about your own physical limitations. when you propose these solutions. This is how you talk in a job interview. I think over the years I might have gotten pretty good at like interviews and stuff because I did so many. Like when I was younger and I didn't have a lot of experience, I didn't have a lot of stories to tell, you know? When they ask you questions and you have to think of an anecdote that you can tell for showing how you actually have experience with this particular thing. But then later on, you just have all these stories, like after your first job, just have all these. I think the hard part for me is to remember enough stories to be able to tell them on the spot. But I usually try to think of stories beforehand. Like you have to have stories for very generic situations that you can answer, and then you can sort of twist them to fit like different interview questions. Is how I used to do it. Like I had like a 10-page Word document with answers to like different. What this is when I was less experienced. I had a 10-page document with all the answers to all the typical interview questions that I like kind of. I eventually memorized the answers, but then back in the day, I would have these like Skype interviews, and then I actually would like pull up the document and like read the. I would be like, they would ask me a question. I'd be like, oh, I have this question in the document, and I would be like pretending to be thinking like, And then I would scroll to the page with that question. I know where it is, and I would read out the answer, but like I would do it in a way that doesn't sound like I'm reading. And also, I'm on camera, so then I have to really look like I'm not reading. I have to not move my eyeballs or something. I got really good at doing that. Yeah, open book exam. Hey, I had really good answers written down. Why not use them if I can? No, it was very silent scrolling because it was just on my mouse. I did it very silently and I was like, Because you're supposed to give yourself time to think of the answer so you can I really like pretend that man, I'm thinking really hard about the answer right now as I was looking for that question on my page. But it worked out. I got the job, okay? So I'm just saying it works. Resourcefulness is a good trait. Only if I put a lot of effort into something, I guess. I definitely used to try a lot harder in like work related things. I think I used to be quite like ambitious. But then I worked too hard and now I'm just tired, so I still wanna I don't wanna do this anymore. So now I'm here. I just wanna do stuff I enjoy now. If it's stupid and it works, it isn't stupid. So don't it? Yeah, I just want to do stuff I enjoy more now. So, I do like my current work. It's very chilled. My bosses and like my coworkers are really nice. Sometimes the work is kind of boring. Sometimes it's okay. The people are nice though, so I think that's really important. Like, just the people being good to work with. Further thoughts about going full-time streaming? Yeah, I think it's something that's like maybe on the horizon for me, but I'm not sure. I'm thinking right now that maybe one thing I could do is try to go part-time at my current job and then be able to spend more time on stream-related stuff, but I don't really know if that would help because currently I already sort of work part-time hours sometimes because I don't 100% of the time have something to do and I work from home so I don't even have to pretend to be busy. You know, a lot of people have full-time jobs but they spend half the time pretending to be busy rather than actually having stuff to do. So because I don't have to pretend to be busy because I'm at home, the hours that I do work are actually just on sometimes on some days it actually is part-time hours, you know what I mean? So then so now I don't know if there's a point in giving up full-time pay to get part-time pay and to work the same amount of hours. Yeah, that's why, yeah. So that's my current thought right now. It's to be perfectly frank. Yeah. And then maybe it's a good time to try to have more savings because I didn't have a lot of savings when I was younger. I used to be paycheck to paycheck a lot because my salary was just really low. Just a couple years back, and I was just barely paying rent and eating and stuff like that. So I didn't really save a lot of money early on. I kind of wish I did. So I'm trying to get into that, trying to get into that now, just like being more responsible financially, but it's gonna take time to build that, so yeah. Some of the days I feel part-time because I can watch VTubers while I work for it quite comfortably. Right. Like I can sometimes do stream stuff while working as well. That's why I feel like there's not a huge difference if I were to do part-time. They might give you a week's work. Exactly. That's what I fear. I might get the exact same amount of work, but I have to do it in less time. You know what I mean? If I went part-time. Like I think people aren't very good at like managing resources in that way, so I don't know if it'd actually be better if I went part time. The only thing that would change is that my salary gets cut in half. Is the only change, but I work the same. Can you imagine that? That would be the worst. Yeah, low salaries can do that to you, and it's hard to say because of how fast it goes. Yeah, I used to live in a place where everybody made I made almost like minimum wage, but then everybody else around me made two or three times what I made. So then all my friends were a lot more well off than me. So then whenever like I go out to like eat with my friends and stuff, it's always like some stuff I can't really afford. But at the same time, like it's like, well, but I still want to have friends, right? So then, like, I was really struggling to keep up. So that was hard. So I would try to save as much as possible. Like, while doing that, I would try to like spend as little money as possible. But it was really hard doing that. Trying to figure that out. With work from home, you also need to pay transport. Actually, in Japan, they pay for your transportation. In Japan, they all like full-time companies, give an extra, like $200 or something into your salary, and they pay for your monthly transportation pass, like your train pass, from your clo the closest station to your house to your the closest station to the work. So then it actually that's why Tokyo is such a big urban sprawl, because trains in Japan are not cheap. And one way train, if you like change companies, like if you transfer to different train railway companies, can cost like $4 to $5 per ride. So then two way like a not like, like a round trip would cost you like $10. But most companies will pay for your monthly train pass for up to maybe 20,000 yen とか かな. So then a lot of people, because of that, a lot of people actually work actually live quite far outside of like central Tokyo to commute in. And their daily like train fee would have been could have been like $6, $7 one way, but the company actually will cover that. So then it allows people to live a little further in like cheaper places. with like lower rent and commute in like an hour. And the trains are so well like organized that even if your train is kind of far, it really still only takes around an hour-ish. So it's not that bad, even if you live a little far. And a lot of people do sort of do that commute. So that's what makes it possible. I think it's what makes it work. Yeah. It sounds so generous. I don't know. In Japan, it's like atarimae. It's like something that you expect from a company. Like, if I'm going to work here, I'm going to commute in, you have to pay for my transportation fee. And I think people here expect that. So I guess that's one thing that's good about Japan, about Japan work culture. My daily train fare when I go to the office is $10. Right. And you have to pay for it yourself. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. In the last place I worked outside of Japan, I had to pay for my own too, and it was really expensive. And I was already really struggling, so yeah. The recent train Conan movie. yeah. My friends always loved to go to Hot Pot, and it was $30 per person. Yeah, that makes sense. I love hot pot too. Yeah, growing up, my mom doesn't cook because my mom grew up and my dad worked a lot, right? My dad used to actually my dad used to have different work trips to different countries like every single week. I think he tells me he's been to every country, you know. He likes to tell very exaggerated stories, my dad. But my mom didn't cook, and my mom also worked. So then, because my grandma used to cook a lot, and then for some reason, growing up, my grandma didn't teach my mom to cook, and also didn't teach her to do any housework or whatever, and actually actively told her not to. And she would, and I was like, huh, but why? And then my grandma said, like, it's because I wanted to keep your mom's hands soft, was what my grandma said. I was like, well, that's great. Now my mom doesn't cook or clean. Dad always tells exaggerated stories. Yeah, I know. Yeah. The only problem with using public transport is peak hour if you have the crowd to fit in. Yeah, rush hour is really crazy here. I wish I had options for cheaper transport. I have to drive everywhere. Yeah, I think the problem with some more sparsely populated areas is that driving is often the only way to get around. Yeah. What about Lotion? No, she just said, yeah, you know, see, your mom's hands are very soft because she didn't do any housework or cook growing up. And then, so my mom doesn't really cook, and she's not really interested in cooking. So then whenever we have a celebration, and it's like supposed to be special, she would buy like sushi from like the supermarket, like really nice sushi, like a big thing of sushi. But then at the same time, we would also have a hot pot going. We would have both sushi and the hot pot, and my mom learned to make this fruit salad that's actually okay. You know what? My mom's fruit salad kind of slaps. I don't know what fruit she puts in this salad. I think it's just canned fruit, guys. I think it's just fruit from a can. But I think I never figured out what fruit this is, but there's a fruit in the canned fruit that she puts into her fruit salad that really slaps. I have no idea what fruit it is. It tastes like a chewy lychee. And I think it just comes, it just, even if I ask her what fruit it is, she will have no idea because it probably came from the can. But it really slapped. And growing up, I remember like, oh my God, I love this. I love this fruit salad. Yeah, the good fruit really goes so hard. And no, it's not a peach. It's like, it's really chewy. It's really chewy. Longans? What is that? The color is like white. It's like a lychee color, but it's like more chewy than a lychee. It's like a white gray color. It's not a dragon fruit. Dragon fruit is kind of soggy. Like dragon fruit literally melts in your, it's like a dragon fruit is like a watermelon, so that's different. Nate de Colongans? Eso kamo? Let me Google that. I Googled that. Wait. Long Gan. Oh, okay, I know. Okay, I know. Okay, you know what? You might be right. 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 Yeah. Hey, Reina, let's go. Hey. I'm not that loopy. I'm just talking about the fruit salad my mom used to make. They sell it in the cans. Okay, I think my mom buys it in like a mixed can of different fruits. I literally have no idea what fruit that is. How am I feeling? I'm a lot better now. I'm a lot better now because I napped for a little bit. Yeah, my mom used to make this fruit. My mom can't cook, but her fruit salad slapped. And she so she when she when we had celebrations like Christmas or like anybody's birthday, it used to be like a hot pot. But then she also gets sushi, and then she also makes a steak. She also makes a steak. These are all like very easy things that she can make. She also makes a steak, and then she makes a salad, and she has also a fruit salad. So those are all the things for a celebration that we have. Yeah. So then it's like all the things to her best effort that she can make for us without any knowledge of cooking. I mean, it's really good, okay? Those are all things that are like really good. Those are all things that we'll be like, oh, it's hot pot night, you know? It's like really, really exciting. Shabu shabu, it's exactly it because she doesn't have to cook it because she just makes the water and then she buys all the raw materials and then we all make it ourselves. So that means she doesn't have to cook. But then it's a special occasion thing. It's perfect. A drink called Mogu Mogu. I drink Mogu Mogu. Shitteryo? I know Mogu Mogu. I used to drink it. I love jelly drinks. It's funny because I talked to I remember when I was with Nene at the ASMR studio early this year to use the Q100, right? And then we didn't I it was kind of early in the morning when we have to get there, so I didn't eat. So then I stopped by the convenience store and I bought these jelly drinks. And I like drank them as like my breakfast and also part of my lunch. And then Nene was just like, "Ew, jelly drinks." Oh, she judged me that day for the sausages that I ordered at the after ASMR dinner that we had together, it's like a late lunch that we had together, because I ordered these sausages because it was like a German restaurant and they had sausages. So I was like, oh, I want these assorted sausages. And she was just like, oh, I'm gonna let you have that. And then, and then she also judged me for the jelly drink, but I love jelly drinks. Nana and I are both kind of picky. It was so funny. I don't know. Okay, I'm not very picky, but I also have very, I have very, I have kind of weird tastes in some stuff. I love jelly drinks. Oh my God. I love juice with pulp. The more pulp, the better. In fact, make my orange juice just like an orange. I want to chew my orange juice. I want orange juice, 80% pulp, just a little bit juice. So like a soggy orange. That's the best kind to me. I love pulp. Oh my God. No pulp is the wrong opinion. I used to go to the corner store near where I lived, like in a different country, and then like and then they had this like freshly squeezed orange juice that and you can buy like the pulp version and no pulp version. And I'm like, yes, the more pulp the better. I try to find the bottle with the most pulp. Just eat an orange. No, but an orange just doesn't have enough juice. It's like eating risotto, right? It's like it has to have more like soupy texture than ricey texture. So like it has to be it has to be the right balance of liquid to solids. Okay, I'm very specific about how much pulp I want in the orange juice, if possible. Okay, I can drink orange juice without pulp, but I much prefer it with pulp, especially if it tastes very fresh. I can drink it either way, but Orange juice with pulp is delicious. Yeah, thank you. Eating orange is way more work. Exactly. It's like just feed it to me. Feed it to me. You need three oranges to make a glass of OJ. Yeah, I mean, if you add pulp to it, maybe fewer oranges. I love pulpy orange drink, but I don't want that much pulp in it. They never put that much pulp in it though, because I kind of like more pulp. You like orange juice and the consistency of risotto? I have never tasted that. No one has ever made orange juice with the consistency of risotto for me, so I don't know. I don't know if that's good or not, but I imagine it's gonna be pretty good. Pulpy orange juice is like baby food. Okay, maybe I like baby food. I don't know. I don't have any memory of eating baby food ever. And also, oranges are so hit or miss. Like some oranges are so bad. Like some oranges just taste like crap. But then when it's orange juice and then you add like sugar to it or something, it's so much better. So then orange juice pulp is like much better than eating an orange. Maybe I should just add sugar to my oranges. Is that what it is? I should like put my oranges with syrup, and then maybe it'll be better. It's rather good when it comes for or to morning with orange juice, but other time it's just not right for me. Right, I find like oranges are so hit or miss. Yeah. Okay, but in Japan, fruit is mostly a hit though. Fruit is mostly a hit in Japan. I really like mikan. Mikan. Yeah, mikan, which is like a Japanese orange. It's like kind of like a mandarin orange, a Japanese orange. I really like mikan because Japanese mikan are always 100% sweet. There's no misses in mikan. When is mikan season in Japan? Every single mikan is perfect. They do fruit so good here. But they're so expensive, but they're so good here. There's no bad mikan. There's no bad Fuji apple. Yeah. But I have had so many bad oranges in other places. Frozen mikan. Yeah. The mikan here is so good. They have some of the most expensive strawberries in Japan, right? But the strawberries here are also so good. Yeah, but each one is perfect, exactly. And also the I love okay, I love black cherries. I think it's my favorite fruit. I think there are very few black cherries that miss. I think every single black cherry, mostly in a batch that is sold, is basically good. So, black cherry is one of my favorite fruits. Fuji apples are difficult to find. Oh, really? How come? Pulp haters, do you ever drink smoothies or boba? Oh. Do you guys just not like textures in your drinks, maybe? I really like warm boba. Went to a Taiwanese restaurant and had like basically hot milk tea with boba and warm boba, like hot boba in the winter. Boba in hot beverage is softer. It's like more soft than hard. Yeah. You don't like textures. Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me. In that case, I can guess the list of foods that you might not like, right? I can guess the list of foods that you might not like, and I'm sure it is the list of foods that I like. I like textures. I have the exact opposite taste of someone who's a little bit picky about foods. I love mushrooms, and I love like oysters, and I love things with like really chewy textures. Basically, things that people who are a little bit picky hate, I like all of those things. I already know. I've talked to too many people who are picky. Pulp is completely different from boba smoothies. I get that. Yeah, no, but I do have very like peculiar taste. I know. My mouth is so tiny, so the boba I choke on it is. Sh Oh, what? Do you drink it too fast? Oh no, maybe you need to learn. Maybe this is a skill you need to learn. I don't know. That sounds very dangerous. Don't drink it so fast. Drink it slower. I think smoothies are different for me because your prepared liquidy juice and with pulp is very jarring. We can't eat together one. Oh no, or we can't eat together in one restaurant. It's just that I give everything. Reina gives everything if she doesn't like to me. Then we can share, and I eat all the stuff that she hates. It makes a lot of sense. Actually, we make a great team in this way. I eat all the stuff that she hates. Skill issue. You gotta slurp. Yep, we can balance each other out. Mushrooms are the only food I don't like the texture of, but I love the taste. Oh, that is really interesting. I like both about mushrooms. I really like how chewy it is. Because I tend to ask people if they like mushrooms, and in that case, I usually be able to guess a list of things that they might not like. It's actually perfect match, exactly. Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, here's the thing though, I'm not very picky, so I like all of those other things that people who are picky like, but I also like all the things that they hate. I only recently started liking avocado. Oh, okay. You like mushroom. That's interesting. That's interesting. Usually people who are picky don't like mushroom because mushrooms have a specific texture. But I've heard that people who dislike mushrooms still like enoki mushrooms. Enoki. That's interesting. Yeah, I usually use mushroom as a benchmark for whether or not like some people will like certain foods. When cooked right, they're amazing. Okay. So you'll probably hate raw mushrooms, right? The uncooked ones that go into salad. They're quite they're raw. I mean, I prefer them cooked too, but mushrooms are delicious. They are quite meaty in texture. Stuffed mushrooms are hit or miss. I really like the nandakke? The mushrooms that go in like nabe. Yeah. Enoki is more similar to mung bean sprouts. I love enoki. But I basically like most things. The only thing I don't like is ginger. Yeah. I don't really like raw mushrooms as much too. I feel you on that one. It does taste like dirt. You have to put so much seasoning on it to, like, a lot of salt or something to kind of mask the taste. But, crap, I lost my trail of thought. What was I talking about before I talked about mushroom tasting like dirt? Oops, I already lost my, oh, I love scallops. Oh my God, I love scallops so much. I don't like ginger, yeah. You know raw ginger that comes with like sushi and stuff? I hate that stuff. The pick ginger. Oh my God, my mom loves pickled ginger. She eats it for all of us when we go for sushi. I mean, it's great. She'll be like, "You're not taking your ginger? I'll have it. I'll have it." Like my mom eats all the ginger in the sushi restaurant. Some of the restaurants we went to used to serve the ginger like not with the dish, but like they just have it on the desk in like this like little tub that is like already on the table, and my mom would just eat out of that. She loves the ginger. I hate it. I'm like, this is raw. You don't like scallops and oysters? Okay, scallops and oysters are some of my favorite foods. Pink ginger is the best. No, I don't really like raw ginger. I think it tastes very strong. They're really good on gyudon, I understand, but I don't really like them alone. And you know, some people eat them by itself. I like ginger in drinks and like ginger taste in foods, but I don't like to eat the ginger itself. I like when it's used as a food. I like when it's used for its flavor, but I don't really like when you just eat it. It's a palate cleanser, but I can see where your mom means. Yeah, she just eats it straight up, like not even as like cleanser or whatever. She just eats it. Scallops are dope. I love them. Popcorn. No, I love popcorn shrimp, but I can't eat a lot of them. No. I love shrimp, but I can't eat them much. I'd be careful of the hives. Honey, as that ginger and lemon is great for tea. No, I get it. I like ginger in drinks. I just don't like raw ginger eaten by itself. I think that's the one thing I don't like. I used to not really like garlic too, but that's when its garlic is served on its own. But now I'm like okay with it. Garlic is kind of nice. I like to add garlic, chopped garlic to a lot of my food. It makes it immediately smell really great, so people think I'm a great cook. Like when I used to have a bunch of roommates, we used to like share a house, and then I would like cook stuff, and the moment I add chopped garlic, and then she comes home, she's like, "Oh my God, what are you making? It smells so good." She thinks I'm an amazing cook every time I add garlic. I used to eat shrimp a lot, but over time I kind of don't like them anymore. I don't go out my way to eat them. Garlic makes all your makes you makes you makes your food smell like you're a master chef. I choked on a shrimp tail. No. I can't eat without garlic these days. Yeah, do you like crab? I like crab. I just don't like getting the crab out of the crab shell. I don't like the effort that it takes, so I prefer crab that's already been shelled. I like to add it for the flavor. Yeah, chopped garlic cereal. No, it's like when you add chopped garlic to your stir fry, and then like immediately it's like Master Chef. I'll make your crab cereal together. Yay! Excited. Okay, garlic is the secret to making everything great. It is, and it smells amazing. So a quick like stir fry with like meats for me would be first you add the oil or butter actually. Depends on what I feel like. Sometimes I use butter. And then you put the meat on the pan. And then I put a little bit soy sauce. Usually it's from the regular like soy sauce thing. And I count to three in my head. One, two, three. Really quickly, and that's the amount of soy sauce I add. And then you add a little bit garlic and a little bit spice. Usually I use either maybe hot oil or sriracha if I prefer that. Depends on what I'm making. But that's usually what I mix together. And then in Japan sometimes I will add mirin, which is like a kind of like a cooking sake almost. It adds a little sweetness to the dish. And then depending on what I'm making, what I have that day, what I feel like adding, sometimes I add random stuff that I know will taste good. And it always ends up fine, so so that's usually what I do for cooking meat. Yeah, salt, pepper, garlic, no doubt about it, the greatest and only seasonings you ever need. Yeah, I do like plainer seasonings now though. If the meat itself is really good, just adding salt or just using wasabi is really nice. Chopped garlic zero doesn't sound bad. No. I always put garlic powder. Ooh, garlic powder and pizza dough. Ooh, that sounds good. When we're all together for our idol project, I will cook a different dish every day of the week for every member. Oh my gosh. You're gonna tailor our menus to us based on our personalities, maybe? That is crazy. I'm excited for that. Like designing menus based on everybody's personality, that would be so cool. I love that. Garlic bread is my snack. Oh, I love garlic bread. You add garlic to rice in Japan? I actually think it's not as usual. They add garlic to like meats, but not to rice. But I love garlic in fried rice. They add garlic to fried rice if it's fried rice. Getting the smell out of the kitchen when you're done. Yeah, I used to burn candles to help remove the smell, cause my house didn't have like windows by the kitchen, so I used to burn candles in the living room to get rid of the smell. After about an hour or so, the smell is gone. I love cooking. Yeah, we'll be together a while. I'm excited. Garlic does smell good even without anything. It just smells good. Right, yeah. Think of something really hard stuff to cook. Why? Why hard stuff? Vampire hate good food confirmed. Rice is usually plain, right? In Japan, it's usually plain and served with other food, right? And then it tends to be like you have a dish that is like very seasoned, and then not always really seasoned, but you would eat one bite of the dish and then maybe have one bite of the rice. And then the rice is kind of used to balance out the stronger taste of the food a little bit. And Japanese people don't like to mix their curry with their rice. They keep it separate so that they will take one spoon of rice. Oh, we also eat curry with spoons here, but you take one spoon of rice, plain rice, and then you dip it in the curry and then eat it. So then you can keep it separate. They never mix it together. Charlotte has really questionable taste. That's so interesting. Is an Asian thing in general too? No, I don't think so. Don't know about that, but it's very but it's they usually keep it separate here. Here we fry a bit of garlic before adding the rice and then the water. Fry a bit of garlic before adding the rice and then the water to make the rice tasty. Ooh, that actually sounds really good. That sounds really good. I like that. Oh. I really like the fragrant rice that they use in Singaporean Hainan chicken rice. The oily rice, I don't know what's in it, but it's like, okay, the Malaysians will counter this, but like the honey, this whatever is in that rice is like really good. We fry Egyptian rice. Egyptian rice. Wow, very cool. Eating with curry chopsticks. No, here they use a spoon. If you go to like Koko Curry or something, they give you a spoon usually. I like to add salt, pepper, and sage. 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 I was reading that in Japanese. What is sage? I don't know what that is. I also steep bay leaves. Oh my gosh, so pro. So pro. What is nasi lemak? I gotta need to Google that. What is it? A Malaysian coconut milk rice. Ah, yes, it's this coconut rice. Oh, I didn't know the name. I didn't know the name. Yeah, the Malay cuisine. Oh, I didn't know the name of it. Oh, yeah, I really like this. It's made of coconut. Oh, hey, 知らなかった. Okay. What? I described it. I didn't know the name. It's like it's usually called like coconut rice on the menu. It's an herb, sagey, sagey, machika. Sagey. I've never used it before. I don't know what it is. Heh. The one you described earlier. Oh, nasi kuning. Let me look that up too. I don't know a lot of these terms. Indonesian fragrant rice dish cooked with coconut milk. Oh, this looks really good too. Yeah, I really like these like fragrant rice dishes. Seijay? Oh, Seijay? Oh, okay. Oh, Seijay? It's so like how do you see SAGE and think Seijay? That's rough. What? What's wrong? I don't get it. Sage? What? What? I get it now. Was like, is this French or something? Why is the E pronounced like J? Okay, we got it, we got it, we got it. Oh God, okay. CJ. Like c'est, like French, c apostrophe est, c'est. Yeah, say it seductively. C'est, oui, baguette. Je suis Lua. Je suis Luma. Je m'appelle Lua. New perfume made with the herb, right? Oh God. Okay, that was so funny. CJ, oh the Lua. Oh the Lua. Je t'aime. Je suis bird. A bootleg rapper. Oh my God. French Lua, oh God. It's the 3 years of French I took in middle school that I forgot all about. Oh no, did I take 3 years of French? Yeah, I took 3 years of French that I completely forgot about. After that, I learned Japanese and it pushed out all the French knowledge. Lil CJ, yeah, a French rapper. Oh my gosh, so funny. That's bad. What's bad? Oh, that was a good laugh. All right. I'm drinking this orange juice and mango. Orange and mango juice. 1日分のビタミン, これ1本. It gives me a lot of vitamins, apparently. I don't know. I wanted a juice. So this is what I got. I took 3 years of Spanish. It has been useful about as many times. French learning stream, French Duolingo. The song, huh? Mango juice is great, yeah. Your French is on par with my speaking Spanish fluently for 7 years, only to completely forget it once I learn Japanese. Oh my God, academic disappointment. Yeah, I think you speak more Spanish than I speak French. I honestly only know how to say je m'appelle Lua. Je suis my age ons, and then aller à la patinoire, which is going to the ice rink, is the only phrase I remember from class. We had a class learning about how to say, where are you going? I'm going to here. And then that's the whole f and then the only thing I remember was I am going to the ice rink is the only phrase. Aller à la centre du commercial is going to the shopping center. Deschamps. It's like very, very specific, like classroom phrases. French numbers. I know French numbers make me molt so hard. What the heck is soixante-dix? Make it stop. They need to optimize their counting system. It is making math very difficult for the French people. French is even harder than Japanese personally. Yeah, I find languages with like male female like laws to be very difficult. La lei. I don't know if this word is male or female. I don't know. But like French people just know because they grew up with it. Yeah. Because taking it to the ice rink, hey, I'm actually pretty good at ice skating because I have good balance. Why an ice rink? I don't know. It was just one of the keywords that we had in that class and it stuck to me. Yeah, the phrase just stuck to me. An ice rink is a place where you go ice skating. Yeah. German would be hard for ya. I think I just like naturally I don't know. I just don't know any other languages where it, like words are female and male. Because only Romance languages are like that. So, I have a really hard time with it, like remembering it. 10K takes some use getting used to, but that's from Chinese, like 1만, 2만 toka, the counting. So, Let's go as a date. Let's go. Go skate. Oh, did you skate when you were younger? I feel like Reina is someone who probably can do like flips and stuff. I can't do flips, but I can skate backwards. I have good enough balance that I can skate backwards fairly easily, but I cannot do flips. I've never learned how to skate. With every language that people grow up with, oh, that our language is easy to learn. Yeah. Even worse is having to remember the exceptions. You mean exceptions to romance languages like French, or what do you mean? English is a language with a lot of exceptions. I roller skated and took dance and gymnastics. Ice skating, I'm not very good with though. Oh, really? Oh, I feel like you would learn really quickly if you were to go ice skating. I used to ice skate. I fall down on the ice every time as a kid. I guess it takes time to practice. Yeah, I have pretty good balance. So, at the first time I was on the ice rink, I was already running on the ice. But and then I eventually could skate backwards with just minimum instruction. I had a lot of fun on the ice when I was a kid, but I never learned or anything. I was 4 when I learned my language, and it's super easy. Oh, really? I did gymnastics when I was little, flips and splits. Ah. Reina's ice skating stream. exception to male/female words, really? Chinese sounds cute. Chinese has a lot of dialects. They sound very different, so I don't know. Been ice skating twice and never figured out how to move forward. Really? Moving forward? Oh gosh. Oh, I did gymnastics when I was little too. Yeah, that's why I said I could do a really mean cartwheel. And I could also do flips on like a horizontal pole. I could flip backwards and forwards. I had a lot of fun doing that when I was a kid. Irrational fear of getting in some accident while skating. Oh, you know what I'm scared of on the ice rink is like I'm scared of falling and then like someone skating over my arm and cutting it off. Do you have that fear? Like if you fall and then someone just skates over and chops your finger off? Have you every time I'm on the ice, I have that passing thought. Like what if I fell and someone sliced my finger off on the ice rink? Doing handstands is fun. Yeah, I used to do like headstands and handstands too. Not the UPs. Ah! Very specific fear, is it? I don't know. Every time I'm at the ice rink, I sort of think about that. Oh yeah. It's like if you ever been on the ice rink, you fall and you're like, no, my fingers. I need to wear finger guards. I used to skate in full armor. I didn't think about that until now, really. Oh my gosh. Maybe you didn't and you just didn't have like you didn't imagine it. I don't know. My imagination is thinking about all the worst case scenarios every time I'm there. Oh God. Chainmail gloves while ice skating. That sounds fun. I used to rollerblade a lot too. Not roller skate. I used to roller blade a lot when I was a kid, and I would ride bicycles around the neighborhood. I always think about the worst case scenarios. Exactly. Yeah, there was like a set of like tennis courts, near my house where I grew up, and then I used to like go biking, go like cycling around those tennis courts. And there's like a line of three tennis courts together, and then there's like a running path around it that you can like little kids can like bike around. But one of the corners that you turn is a really small corner that you can barely fit through. So it used to be like a challenge to try and like go through that corner without slowing down. It's pretty dangerous, but like it was a corner that like only one person can fit through, and then you try to do like a really sudden turn and bike through it. I used to do that sort of stuff. I've traumatized people from ice skating.
What do you think about hockey? I've only ever played it in PE. I've only ever played it in PE. But I'm not particularly good at it or whatever. What do you think about hockey? Are you trying to ask if I'm Canadian? I'm not Canadian. Is that like a It's like if I said I love hockey. That's so funny. It's like who else likes hockey? I don't know. Hockey is so like specific, I feel. No, I've only ever played it in PE. I've also played cricket in PE. I wasn't particularly good at any of these things though, because there's a lot of like just taller, stronger like people in school. So, I'm okay, but a little bit hit or miss, you know? Like in cricket and like baseball, well, we played sort of like little baseball. We played the one where it's an underarm throw. Can you only like hockey if you're Canadian? I don't know. Who else likes hockey? I don't know. But hockey seems like it's very, yeah, it seems brutal. How about maple syrup? I actually have maple syrup in my fridge. I do have maple syrup in my fridge, but I actually got it for as a gift for my work. I got some free maple syrup from my work. I like soccer and you immediately know they're American, right? No, that's false because Americans don't like soccer. That's false. Americans don't like soccer. Oh God, Canadian spirit. That's so funny. If you drink bagged milk, no, I have some extended like family in Canada, but not really like I'm I've never had bagged milk, but I know what it is. But to Canadians, like bagged milk is like normal, right? It's so weird to me. California is like soccer. Do you really? Is it because of the LA Galaxy? Is it because of the LA Galaxy? Oh gosh. Oh, Reyna headed out. Oops. Bye, Reyna. Let's see. Bagged milk is just wrong. I like a few people like playing it, but not really watching it. I mean, the problem with like soccer in America is that it's like its own how do you explain this? It's like a brutal downward spiral, right? Because if nobody watches it, then they don't make money, then they don't have money to pay their players. Then people who are athletic, all the most athletic people growing up, end up playing other sports because they pay better. So then you just have this endless cycle of the people who don't make it in other sports going into soccer. So then you don't get your best athletes in this sport. So then America is gonna keep losing in the World Cup because of this. Yeah. Homies on the beach. I have a right now. Omni-national. I can sort of see that, yeah. Known a lot of people in many walks of life. That's true. That's true. I know about a lot of different countries. It takes one transcendent player, right? It needs to become like famous. Yeah. So it's gonna be tough to like lift it up when all of your, because people who are athletic can play any sport, right? It's just whether which sport they end up choosing to play or that they enjoy playing the most. So then if your most athletic people are going to your highest paid sports, then it's not really going to change unless you could pay more on that sport. Yeah. I think I read about this in, did I read about this in Outliers? Maybe the book Outliers. Something about that. You guys know about how, like, in that book they talk about how people who tend to be good athletes also tend to be born in certain times of year, right after the age cutoff. Because when you're younger, training someone to be an athlete is a really crucial time for them. And then when you're younger, a year's difference can mean a whole lot of difference in, like, your physique between a kid who's born at the end of the calendar year versus a kid who's born at the beginning of a calendar year. So a lot of the top athletes tend to be kids who are born at the beginning of the calendar year because they tend to be a whole year bigger than the kids born at the end. But they are put into the same, like, team because that's just how the age cutoff works between years. That's so interesting. Football is popular because people get scholarships from it. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I see. In America, right? The brain development counts too. Right. Yeah, actually, my brother was born at the end of a calendar year. And my dad thought a lot about it and decided to pull him back by a year. My dad made him, like, stay a year in the first grade so that he would be the oldest in the year rather than the youngest. And he thought that would help him with his development and, like, his confidence in himself and stuff. I don't really think it's helped that much, but maybe it would have been worse if he wasn't pulled back a year. My brother is not a very confident nor smart person, but maybe it would have been worse if he was not pulled back a year and everybody else was, like, much older than him and more developed and stuff. So that could have been one reason. If you want to become a ballerina, you have to start as a kid, right? Like, your body has to, like, grow into the sport, maybe, I guess. No wonder I wasn't an athlete. I was born in the middle of the year. I think there's a lot of other reasons why someone doesn't become an athlete, but that could be one of the reasons why. Upbringing also plays a role. A lot of goat athletes have bad childhoods, apparently, because of the mental determination comes along with it. I see. Yeah. Just got roasted! Oh, God. I think he deserves it, but it's okay. Oh, no. No wonder he turned out like that. Nah, I wasn't home for most of the time where he was growing up, so it can't be me. I think it's my sister. It's probably my sister's fault. Martial arts is considered a sport. Yeah. It's in the Olympics. It's okay, he works out now. Yeah. Exactly. It's okay, he's got it more figured out now. So funny. Entire family under the bus? Not really. Helps him gain confidence, yeah. Are you sure Lua hasn't been infected by Charizu's Imoto influenza? Rosing on each other. No, we just had, like, a very, like, sibling. Like, a sibling relationship where we just, like, we just roast each other all the time. Like, me and my sister, too. Me and my sister do. Like, we used to fight all the time. Actually, my sister thought growing up we had a bad relationship. I didn't think too much about it. We used to fight all the time. And it's just like, meh, whatever, right? I mean, now we're cool. Now we're cool. But, like, when we were younger, we used to fight all the time. Yeah. The chewing ASMR? No, I was actually drinking my juice. My mango and orange juice. Yeah. I had the tomato sauce pasta was really, really good from earlier too. I didn't end up drinking most of the soup though. Tend to gaslight brothers. I wasn't around enough to do any of that. I wasn't around enough to do any of that. I went to a totally different place for college, so a really chewy sounding juice. No, this one doesn't have pulp, unfortunately. No. You can't just go to the convenience store and buy juice with pulp in Japan. That's not a thing. They don't have juice that fresh at the convenience store, sadly. I'd have to go to like some gourmet like juice shop to do that, or get my own juicer. Or else I'd be drinking that every day. I used to go to the corner store from where I live and buy the pulpy orange juice like every day. It's really expensive juice, but I really wanted it because it's to me it was the best tasting orange juice like anywhere. I don't know. I wonder if that shop is still open, but it's the best tasting orange juice. A juicer fun. I don't have space to put a juicer. Where would I put it? You can get it by the gallon here. That's nice. No, they don't have it. No, there's no Walmart in Japan. Japan has a lot of its own conglomerates, like big companies that run these places. So yeah. How's the procedure on your tooth? I had mine last Friday too, and the dentist went to town with it. Oh, it was really fast. My wisdom teeth only have one single root. It's actually quite easy to pull out. So I was just injected with the anesthetic, and then it took him like less than a minute to pull it out. Yeah, he just applied a bit of pressure and then it was out. I think I was just lucky that both of the roots for my teeth are like a single root. I think all my teeth are a single root, actually. Yeah. A juicer wouldn't take that much space. Yeah, but like I really don't have that much space. Yeah. All of mine were impacted, really? Oh wow. Yeah, it was really quick. I was done in and out in like 10 minutes. Yeah. It's 'cause my roots are like practically straight, only a little bit curved, but it was a single root. Yeah, so it was really easy to pull out, I think. Specialty stores that sell pulp to add to your juice. I think I can just make my own. Yeah, I have no counter space. Like, there's literally no space for anything. So, I'd have to put it in my living room. Like, literally in my room if I get a juicer. A fruit a million bucks in Japan? Yeah, but you can still buy it. You can still buy it. Yeah. A hammer? That's crazy. No, I didn't have such a problem. My teeth were properly like sticking out that they can just pull it out, and I only had like a single root. Yeah, although I have three wisdom teeth pulled out. The first one I've pulled out like quite a while ago already, and the wound completely healed up. This is back when I was in Burp Dimension, and that was the one I had to pull out because it was going to grow horizontally and impact all the other teeth, at the bottom jaw. So that one was actually operated out, and that took quite a while. I remember it being pretty traumatizing, but and I was in pain kind of for like a week, but after it was fine. I had to be put to sleep. Wow. Yeah, I was awake for the whole thing. They just covered my eyes with a towel. Three twinning. Oh, twinning. Don't a lot of people have missing wisdom teeth these days? Maybe like we're just all evolving. Eventually we'll have no wisdom teeth. Yeah, I didn't have a I'm trying to decide which side. I think I didn't have a wisdom tooth on my lower right side. Lower left side. Oh my God, I can't tell left from right. My lower left side didn't have a tooth, and then I had it removed on the lower right side, and they kind of had to drill that one out, because it was still in the gum when they had to take it out. I was put to sleep when I had my baby teeth out. Really? 14 out, one go. What? What? Don't your baby teeth just fall out like naturally? Do you koto? Some people get lucky and have all four but perfectly straight. Right. I guess they have a lot of jaw space. We don't need wisdom teeth for pulp. Yeah. Yeah, we lost the need for them, pretty much. I still have mine, never had any issues. Right. What was on the west side? What do you mean? I currently only have one that fully sprouted on my lower right. Everything is fine though, not dealing with any complications. Ah, did you get an x-ray to make sure they're all gonna grow out like normally? They stayed in there and my teeth are straight because of it. What? What? Wait. You mean, huh? Wait. What, how old were you when you did that? Okay, so your adult teeth didn't grow out on its own? That you had to get your baby teeth pulled out? Manually? What? I've never heard of that. Speed running adult teeth. I still kept a couple of my baby teeth and they're permanent. Wow, what? Really? You just didn't have adult teeth underneath them? Really? Wow. Yeah, my teeth fell out one by one and I would get the tooth fairy come, you know, every time. Get a little bit of cash under my pillow with every tooth, you know? The smell when the dentist is breaking impacted wisdom tooth. What? The smell? I did not smell anything at the dentist. I don't know what you mean. What smell? I had most of my baby teeth out one go and then all my adult teeth grow out at the same time. What? That is crazy. What? Wait, what kind of smell? The smell of dentist? I don't know what that means. I don't remember any smell. Dang, everybody has like crazy experiences with their teeth. Teeth are so weird, man. Why can't they just make it easy? Just make it easier. I didn't really smell anything. Yeah, the smell of blood? Really? Really? Dang, it must smell really bad then. I don't remember smelling anything ever. Eh? They just never fell out, but the dentist said it's all good. Oh, and you don't have adult teeth underneath. Have you ever taken an x-ray, for them to check? Because if there's like adult teeth underneath, maybe, I don't know. I haven't been to the dentist since. What? What? No. No. I go once every 6 months. Oh no. I did have braces though when I was younger because I had buck teeth. I had to get four teeth removed and then have them pulled back. So I had to go to the dentist a lot. And I go every 6 months. Yeah. I gave my money to charity. I have no idea what I did to the money I got from the Tooth Fairy. Oh. Yeah. It's bloody, and I remember the clinic lost water when they applied anesthetic. What? That's crazy. Oh, you do have occasional checkup. Okay. I was like, you're not even going for your occasional checkup. How do you know you don't have cavities or whatever? I haven't been to the dentist since I was 14. Oh wow. Oh, I go pretty often. I'm afraid of getting cavities. And I also like to get my teeth cleaned. A small jaw. Yeah, I have kind of a small. I think a lot of people have like smaller jaws now though. Yeah, I don't have enough gum for all my teeth to grow, so they kind of stuck out a lot. And I kind of have like yeah. I still have large teeth. Yeah. I haven't been in 2 years. Oh no, everybody here needs to go to the dentist. Go once every 6 months and get your annual checkup once a year. Mine bled for 24 hours and I kept tasting. Wow, really? Mine is bleeding lightly, but I don't really taste anything. It's like, a little bit bloody. Well, I'm like, whatever. Going to the dentist regular isn't really a thing where I'm from, really. Probably should go. I once had to lose braces when I was getting a teeth fix as a teen. Oh, but it didn't hurt. It's almost been 8 months. Thanks for reminding me. Yes, go to the dentist. I try to go twice a year. It seems to be working well. That's good. You can make me go. I guess it helps that I like my dentist. Like she's like really gentle. Like all the nurses there and the dentist, like they're all really gentle and nice. So I sort of like going there. It's not so bad. Looks like we need some dental insurance in the pathologist lab. Lost track of when I last went to the dentist. Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? I guess if you don't have any like pains or whatever in your teeth, maybe it's okay. Some people just tend not to get cavities. Whereas I have to get a checkup quite frequently because also like I had braces, so my when I was younger, and then when my braces actually removed, when they were removed, they actually took off some of the coating on my teeth, so it's actually easier for me to get cavities. So I have to get it checked like pretty frequently just to be sure. Yeah, like some of the sides of my tooth are like missing some of the enamel that are like on the teeth because of the braces when they came off actually took like a layer or something with them. I don't know. I had braces for 2 years. Did you get teeth fillings done? When you get cavities, you get it filled in, yeah. My dentist is funny, trying to make me laugh through the pain. Hey, at least you have a comedian for a dentist. That sounds pretty cool. Oh, that sucks. Yeah. I like to go to like woman dentists though. Their offices are usually like really nice, and like everybody there is really nice and gentle. I used to go to a in North America. I went to a dentist that was owned by like a, I think she's like an Eastern European lady. And then it was like a really fancy office where when you like lie down, she like turns on the t there's a TV in front of you. Like above you, and you can like watch TV while you get your thing done. She always asks me, what movie do I want to watch? And I'm like, this is a really great dentist. I love it here. She had a TV in the office. When she like tilts the seat back, and then she'll ask me what I want to watch on like Netflix or whatever, and I can like watch stuff while I get like my teeth cleaned. So I really like going to like those types of like it's like not such a bad experience when it's like that, you know? Yeah. I never go to one on my own. I used to go to one in family. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Dental record is now required for membership. I became diligent with dentist visits after I got my first ever and last cavity removed. You know, I used to get cavity fillings, but like I would be like, nope, skip the anesthesia, skip the anesthetic, and then the dentist would just drill into it raw, and I would just be patient, you know, I would just meditate because I hated the needle that they inject into you even more. Like I find that hurts more to me, so I prefer that they just drill it off like on its own as is. So I think I have fairly high like pain tolerance. Each patient has a Netflix profile. Yeah, sort of like that. Mine just made me stare at the ceiling. In Japan, they cover your eyes like with a towel, so you don't have to like stare into their eyes or something. By yearly membership stream of dental record review of the birthlings. Oh my gosh.
Your strong will for that. It's because there was a greater evil. The needle that they inject into your gum to me was more painful. So to avoid doing that, I just let them drill in raw. It hurt a lot, but it was still better than the needle. Meditate while having a drill in your head, hardcore. Now that I think back, it's like I should have just gotten the needle. Now I've learned to kind of deal with it. Yeah, deal with the initial pain and then have no pain after. I understand the benefits of doing that now, so yeah. Yeah. All right. The sounds of being at the dentist is the worst part. Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's like nice when they play music. My current dentist plays music in the operating area, so it's not as bad. Oh, okay. Oh. I took a nap, so I'm like not that sleepy now. Yeah, but I'll probably just chill tonight. Have another painkiller before I go to bed. Deafening silence at the dentist. Yeah, my dentist plays music, so it's okay. I watched Beauty and the Beast for the first time at the dentist. It was weird and good movie. Was it the Emma Watson one? The Emma Watson one? I barely remember that. I think I also watched that movie, but I kind of don't really remember it that well. Hey, just chilling. Yeah, exactly. Just chilling. The original animated one. Oh. Okay, yeah. I've seen that too. I'll be heading out to get my car fixed. All right, see ya. Oh man, I need to make my thumbnail for tomorrow. I need to take a very photogenic photo of my tooth. And then select it and then make it into a silhouette. And then I take both teeth together. I love the picture like that. Oh, I'm starting to yawn. Yeah, it's due tomorrow. Due tomorrow. Yeah, I can get that up tomorrow, maybe. I usually try to do all my thumbnails in a go, but I've been pretty busy. I'll try to do the wisdom tooth one tomorrow, and then I'll do the rest too. Yeah. Pose it like the feather. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I probably can. Do not have a lot of time to watch a new Kohai, so not a ton of time. I tried to drop in on the first day though, if you saw me. I think I dropped into everyone's stream. Except Peony. I can't drop into Peony's stream because it's like 6 a.m. But I dropped into everyone's stream, I think, on the first day. Clickbait circle and arrow. Oh, that's hilarious. You won't believe what this tooth looks like. I put the red circle in the silhouette. You won't believe what you're about to see. I saw you with every chat. Yeah, I tried to drop by for everybody. Yeah, they're so talented. Oh. I commissioned Aletta for a new stinger transition. I'm excited for it. I showed her the overlays that I'm currently having worked on, and I asked her if she could make a stinger transition that has sort of the same theme. And it's a proper commission. I have repaid her for her time. Yeah. No, I'm not asking her to do it for free. I have paid her for her time. Yeah. She makes graphics and stuff. Oh, she mentioned that? Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, I was like, please tell me your price. And then I sent it to her. Yeah, I look forward to it too. I'm really excited to show you guys the stingers. They're gonna be so good. But the stingers tonight, the overlays. Oh my gosh, they're like animated stingers, an animated overlays. It's not Senpai tax because I paid her for like a commission. It's like a normal commission, you know. It'd be like paying Nami to help me rig something. It'd be like a commission. So, Oh, Aletta made stingers for like half of Gen 3. So, in preparation for their debut. Yeah. Hope it turns out well because I'm not in her gen. So I was like, it's unreasonable to ask her to make one for me. So I actually commissioned her normally for it. Yeah. Did you get a family discount? No. We looked up average prices online, and I paid her those prices. Yeah. I was like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. So. Yeah. No, when I watched her test stream too, I was like, okay, holy crap. Like when I saw the way her scenes transition, they're not even scenes. It's her whole debut is coded in some game engine. That's why it's so smooth. That's why it's amazing. I think did she use Python for it or something? It's crazy. Yeah. When we saw that in test stream, we were like, holy crap. Yeah. Everyone was like, and you were saying that like you were saying that you don't have any special talents? Aletta. Oh my God. Yeah. It's because all her gen mates are also so talented, right? Like everyone in Gen 3 is so talented. She was like kind of putting herself down, and it's insane because she could do so much. So yeah, we're trying to change that. We're trying to make sure she knows. Yeah, she's gonna make it downloadable. Ooh, very cool. Yeah, some people thought her debut was pre-recorded. Really? Yeah, because it's like a game that she made, so it's all live. Yeah. No, she's just like super humble. What was it? I think I remember having a conversation. And it's just like she'll say, "Oh yeah, I'm like not really good at that." Oh, it was the thing that we were saying about like her saying, "Yeah, I'm not very good at riding bikes." And she's like, "Oh, I taught myself how to ride a bike in my own garden." And then it's like the sheer amount of motivation that went into that. Yeah. Oh, is YouTube collab sometime? Oh, it's coming. Don't worry about it. In her perspective, it's not a talent because it's just what she did for work. Yeah, that might be true. Yeah. Yeah. I guess in retrospect, a lot of people do that. Say, a lot of people talk like that for things that they think are normal, but other people might find to be remarkable. Yeah. It's like if it's something that you're used to doing, then you think it's totally normal, but other people might find that it's remarkable, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's gonna be really fun, and we're gonna have a Lua After Dark with Gen 3 soon. So, I think it's like next week. So that should be fun. I don't really know what's gonna happen, actually. Six people in a single stream is a lot of people talking, isn't it? But I'm gonna try my best to make sure everybody gets to talk. I'm usually very aware of how much everybody has talked, so I try to like invite people who haven't talked that much to talk as well. I guess I'm very self-aware. I'm very I try to invite people to talk more if they haven't talked enough. I just feel like, you know, it's obviously like some people are gonna be more talkative and some people are gonna be less talkative. So trying to balance that while drinking. Yeah, all in one episode. Yeah, no, I originally said like, oh, if any of you are free, if you want to come onto an episode, that'd be great. And then all of them agreed to come. And then I was like, oh, okay, I guess everybody's coming. I expected like some of them might not be able to make it because of the time zone, because it's gonna be 9 p.m. JST. So I was like, oh, some people might not make it. And then everybody agreed. They were like, no, it's fine. So yeah. Which model you wanted? Which was the model that you wanted? Oh, okay. Actually, it's interesting because when I first saw the models, my favorite visually was Aletta's model because I think it's very easy on the eyes, visually, right? But the model that I think if I had auditioned for Gen 3 that I would have picked, I would have said, oh, this one I think is the most suited for me. Because usually management will ask you which one you like, and usually like the one that you like might not be the one that is most suited for you. Because the one that I like the most in Gen 2 was actually Alulu's model. But I was never gonna say yes, this is the model for me, because that's not because that's definitely not something that I feel would have fit me. But I actually really like Aruru's model. But for Gen 3, I said I like Aletta's model. But then if I had to make the same decision, I probably would have said Ocean's model was a better fit. Yeah. So then kind of thinking in the same way, that would probably have been what I would have done. But in Gen 2, I really liked Arulu's model. It's so cute. Yeah. But I don't think I could be a good cute cat girl. Imagine I'm a cat girl bartender. You know what? Actually, that might be kind of funny. I don't know. It would be so strange. Yeah, I get that. I think it would be a surprise. I'd be like, I don't know. And maybe I would have done a different voice. I don't think I can consistently keep a different voice though. And people would just have to get used to it, I guess. I guess if I, yeah. You know the thing about how we talked about how like you change your behavior because you have a certain name. Like people tend to grow into people that fit their own name. So then if I had like a cutesier model, maybe I would have been a cutesier streamer. You know what I mean? Maybe that would have happened. I would have tried to fit the character more. Oh gosh, a cute cat girl stream one. Hi, my name is Lua. I'm always gonna talk like this. Kondua. Me na genki. Ne. Ne, me na genki. I'm always on that tone. Yeah. You cute already? Oh, thank you. The bar Lua stream where I switch bodies with She and Nami. You become Lua because you got Lua. Yeah. Yeah. Switching bodies with She and I always wanted to switch with She because She's model is so different. Your regular voice is cute enough. Oh, thank you. I don't really think of my own voice as like cute when I listen to myself. I wish I could keep like a higher cadence when I speak. And every sentence is ooh, I don't know if I can do that. VTubers start as their characters, but over time become more themselves. Maybe, yeah. Yeah. But I think if I was a cat, I would have done more cat related like skits and like, play into that more though, you know what I mean? So so I feel like I would have done more stuff in that vein because it fits the character. Got ahead. All right. See ya. Thank you. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. As a kind of a behind the scenes thing, as a kind of behind the scenes thing, just because we're on an unrecorded Twitter space though, I had a lot of fun choosing the name. Stream Lua will say this has been my name since birth. But indeed, since birth, since debut, it has been my name. But I actually had a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun choosing the name. We all sort of got to choose names in Gen 2. I think Gen 3 as well. We all got to choose our own names. Like everybody had a say in what they wanted. Yeah. I had like a 2-hour workshop with one of our former managers and Koshta, where we just sat there like looking at kanji. And I had specific kanji that I like I'm very specific about this is the kanji that I want. I really wanted the kanji that I have for like Lua, the a kanji can also be read as I in some names, and it means like blue. And I really love that kanji. I think it's a really pretty kanji, so I really wanted that kanji. And no matter what, I was going on like kanji reading sites and trying to make a name, like create a sound that like would sound good, with the name. I love Lua, it's a really pretty name. Yeah, and it needed to be something with a kanji that I liked, and then with a name that I liked the sound of. And I didn't like names that sounded too girly, so I wanted something that sounded kind of a little cool, So I really so then we settled on Lua, and then I was able to use the kanji that I like. And I really love the kanji for Asuka because Asuka means flying bird. And I always thought it was really cool. I think there's a girl in Nogizaka, the one of the AKB sub branches, and her name is something something Asuka. I think she's one of the most popular girls in that group. But then I've always thought her name was so cool. Asuka, flying bird, but it's pronounced Asuka, and it like blew my mind that was how you pronounce it. So then I was like, I need Asuka in my name, and then I really need the kanji for but I don't like the name I because it's too basic. So then I had to like create something that could work with it. And sometimes you can like mishmash, you can mix and match kanji a little bit in Japanese. Like I and A can both be read as blue. So, yeah. Yes, Saito Asuka. Yes. That's how I learned like Asuka is flying bird and I really love it. No, Gen 1, you're right, Gen 1 didn't have a choice. Gen 1 was everything was like a set. Yeah. I had actually seen Gen 1's names before their debut because I was also scouted for Gen 1. And Koshita sent me an email with a PDF of all the designs that were already done. And I saw all the names and all the blurbs at the time. But I felt like the designs didn't really fit me. So that's what happened. But and then when they debuted, it was the same names. So that's how I knew. Yeah. I really liked your model and name. Very elegant and cool without being too much. Thank you. We spent 2 hours workshopping because Koshita also has a really specific image of what kind of names are good and what kanji are good. So we had to find like a common ground of kanji that I like and kanji that he likes. It was kind of interesting. Had to have that conversation. And I was particular. I was like, I don't like this kanji because it sounds like this. Like I had really particular reasons why I didn't like specific readings as well. Yeah. Would you prefer to have a JP audience rather than an EN audience? Not particularly. I don't actually have like a preference for that sort of thing. And also, I'm not as comfortable speaking in Japanese anyway. Like, I can speak Japanese like fluently, conversationally as well, but like I just feel like the more I speak, the more weaknesses there are in my Japanese, and I don't really like that. So, I just try to not speak so much. Yeah. Then it shares the same name as the Digimon character. Yeah. Did they recognize you from first audition? Yeah. When I interviewed, I was like, "Yo, what's up?" Because Koshita remembered me from Koshita remembered me. Yeah. He found me in one of my pre-debut karaoke streams. Yeah. I used to sing a lot also. And then he had wrote me a Twitter DM telling me about Kawaii, and then I thought it was really sus because this was before Kawaii even had a website. And then I asked him to send me his business registration, which he did. So it was a real business. But yeah. I was like, yo, what's up? And then he asked me, like, oh, why do you choose to apply now and not for like Gen 1? And I was like, well, you guys didn't have a website. It was really sus. Like, you sent me a DM with an account that you just made on Twitter that had like zero tweets. And like that Koshita picture, you know, the one with the Hawaiian shirt. And I was just like, what is this? So I was like, it's like pretty obvious why. Even after he sent me like all the model pictures and stuff, I was still like, nah, I don't know. Yeah. It's pretty funny. What's up is your girl Lua, exactly. Yeah, but they recognized me from the audition. So I actually only had one interview. I actually only had one 30-minute interview, and then they sent me the acceptance after. For my Gen 2 audition. Yeah, it was really quick. The Hawaiian shirts mean business. It's really sus and out of blue, exactly. And Kawaii didn't have a Twitter account back then. This was before they made a Twitter account. So Koshita sent me the DM like from his own personal account. And then 2 to 3 weeks later, K Production Kawaii actually made a Twitter account. That is like official Twitter account. And then they tried to send me DMs again from the official Twitter account twice. And I was like, why are they still sending me Twitter DMs? I already like, you know, I already said like I'm not gonna go forward or whatever. I already said I'm not doing this. So like they tried again like later, but I ignored those DMs. Yeah. No, but 100%. That's why Gen 1 very, very respectable because they really took a risk that like I didn't take. I was like, this new company, very sus, don't know what's gonna happen. So, I didn't make the jump at the time. Yeah. I'm much more conservative in my decision making, I think. But you can see Gen 1 is a little more YOLO, maybe. And I think it's a good thing because I'm a little too cautious sometimes. And it does hold me back from a lot of stuff. Like I won't do something unless I'm like sure that I think it can happen. An elaborate docs attempt. Yeah, being the OG Gen is a big gamble, exactly. So Gen 1, which Gen 1 model would you pick? I don't really want to say because I feel like people would be like, oh, you would have been well. Well, I guess it's not like it happened anyway, right? So it's just tatoeba no hanashi. It's just like, what if? I guess the what if, to be honest, when I looked at all the models, I thought none of them really fit me. That's what a big reason why I didn't move forward. It's a huge reason why I didn't move forward. But I was really like considering it at the time. But if I had moved forward, I would probably have ranked I would probably have said Hana's model, and then maybe. Ooh, I don't know if I would have a second choice. I just felt like it didn't fit me. Hana's model, and then my favorite model was Charzu's model, Charlotte's model. When I looked at the pictures, my favorite model was Charlotte's model. But obviously, again, I like models that don't fit me. I like Aruru's model. Doesn't fit me. I like cute girl models, okay? But they don't fit me. Hana sort of fits your vibe. But at the same time, it doesn't. Because I feel like Hana's model feels very mature Onee-san. And I have a little bit of chaotic energy. Which I felt like it doesn't 100% fit. I'm a little chaotic. I don't know. Lua Imoto. Wow. It's gonna be kind of weird, huh? Lua and Charles Yuan. No, I would never have said like I'm gonna go for this model because I really genuinely believe it doesn't fit me. But no, I ended up not going forward because I just didn't feel like it was a good enough fit at the time. Yeah. More of a gremlin than one might suspect. Yeah. On first impression, huh? Gremlin vibes, really? The chaotic energy reminds me of when you had Nami's model. Yeah, Nami's actually the calm one. Your chaotic nature is great, though. Oh, thank you. Intense gremlin energy pretty often. Oh, I hope that's a good thing. Oh, hold on. Yeah, I'm told, like, at my work, I once got an evaluation from one of my previous bosses that was more... She's a bit of a... She's a bit of a square. How would I describe it? She's a bit of a square. And she's really boring. And she evaluated in my yearly evaluation. She said, like, I should try to use more professional language. Because I speak too young. Like, on, like, company communications. And I thought that was just... That was so bullshit. That was the most bullshit evaluation I've ever seen. Oh, she said, like, I type too much like I speak. Which is true, I do that. Every time I type exactly as how I would have said something. But I just thought that was the lamest evaluation ever. Yeah, it's like, what's your point? Like, what's your problem? It's like, if I write on the company Slack and I sound kind of casual, like, who cares? But, like, that was, like, in the evaluation. I was like, holy crap. She's... Yeah. I don't get to watch you much, so I keep being surprised, but I really enjoy you now. Oh, thank you. Well, welcome. Thank you for being here. That's so dumb, right? That was like that. It actually like made me kind of mad inside. I was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe she said that." Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh man. Well, I'm one of the younger people at the company, so. But not anymore. Nowadays, Zoomers are becoming working age. Zoomers are becoming working age. Since Arov has told everyone to write more plainly and directly, really? I don't write plainly though. I write directly and casually, but not plainly necessarily. In a way, it's a good thing that's the worst thing she had to say. Right? Actually, I was kind of pissed one time when I was writing a document and my boss evaluated that it was too casual, but I was using like correct like terms in the industry. They thought the term was too I said, okay, I wrote in this document that I think that this strategy will get us a lot of eyeballs. I freaking wrote eyeballs, okay? I was like, it's gonna get us a lot of eyeballs. And then she was like, eyeballs is too trash. I was like, it's how you say that you get a lot of people seeing your brand by saying eyeballs. and then she just thought it wasn't professional enough. I really hate that. I was like, oh, change eyeballs, fine, whatever. It was like really nitpicky. Yeah. Yeah. They said eyeballs was too casual. I don't know. I was like, okay, because they evaluated me for writing too casual. I was like, okay, look at this document. Tell me exactly what is too, because I was like kind of pissed. I was like, okay, tell me exactly which part is too casual. Like, I'm just writing in English. I don't understand. And then they try to like pick out some stuff. But thing is, like, both of my bosses were not native English speakers, so it was kind of annoying to hear it from them. I was just like, I really don't want to hear it from you guys. Like, oh, man. Yeah. As long as the person can talk fine with clients or get the job done. Right. I guess it's because it was like a document for an external, like, third party. I don't know. I didn't really think there was actually anything wrong with my language. Right. Yeah. The synergy. Bird's eye view. The big picture. Not familiar with idioms? Maybe, yeah. They thought the use of eyeballs was very unprofessional. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they want me to write like a scientific journal. Yeah. Oh yeah, one of my bosses might have been she might have been someone who did a lot of like scientific journal type research. So I think she was expecting more of that kind of language. I hate it though. It's like so convoluted. Like when I see the language, I'm like, what the heck are you saying? Can you write it in like a easier way to understand? I'm like, yes, dumb it down, please. Dumb it down. Dumb it down and make it really easy for people to understand. Like, make it so that even that when they're looking on their phone and they're, like, distracted, they can take one look at the slide and still be like, oh, I get it. Like, don't make it so hard. There's always a need to find something to complain about. Yeah. It's inhuman. I mean, I sort of understand the evaluation on some level, because I understand the need to make something sound smarter than it actually is. You know, fake it till you make it is like the entire industry. But like at the same time, I just feel like the language needs to be easy to understand. It needs to be not convoluted. Like it needs to be that someone who didn't graduate school can understand, like, yeah, especially in like the stuff that I do, like, yeah. Structure is supposed to make it easier to read, right? Yeah, so I don't know why we're trying to make it sound so complicated. But oh well. It's okay. I have a different boss now, and she's pretty cool. I'm a little slow on my work this week, though, because of the wisdom tooth thing. I feel really bad, because I was telling her, like, I'm actually kind of stuck in this part. And then, like, as I'm not really sure, I can't really find the information that you really want for this. And then she, while in the meeting, she sent me, like, a bunch of links to help me with it. I'm like, you're doing that while in a meeting. I felt like kind of bad, because like she was like almost doing my work for me while in the meeting. But at the same time, she helps me clean up the stuff so well. Sometimes I'm just like, well, if you can clean it up, then you know I'd be fine. But I kind of feel bad. I feel like in my evaluation, it's gonna be like always has to save Lua's ass and clean up after her PowerPoint presentations. Because I can't put it together quickly in a more succinct manner. No, she's a really nice person. I just feel like she offers to help too much in a way. Like she needs to leave people alone a little more. Maybe she's kind of like a newer boss. Like she always tries to like come in and like do your work for you. Whereas like my previous boss would have left me to it because she would have wanted me to do it myself. Which is a good thing, but also I get really stuck and then I have to like work really, really hard. But then sometimes she would just come in and she would just do it for me. I'm like, oh, okay, it's done. But like I think that doesn't really help me like I guess work on my skill, I guess. Yeah. Is your boss Nami? I think you misunderstand that point about Nami. Nami is not the type that will come in and do your work for you. Nami is maybe the type that will give you pointers and like advice on the side, but she is not gonna do it for you. Like, absolutely not going to go in there and write it for you. Yeah. Better than throwing you to the lions. Right. Yeah, I totally get that. You want to fly on your own? Yeah. It makes me feel kind of bad when she like does my stuff for me. Then I feel like I'm not pulling my weight. Yeah. She exactly. I don't think Nami will do the extra work. I think it's a very different trait. She's tech support, but she'll write out what she thinks you should do in Slack, but she's not gonna do it for you. Oh, the boss got links for you in the meeting, like how Nami answers Slack while streaming. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like pal for the Gen 2 1 year anniversary cover. Actually, I'm doing all the organizing, but Nami gives her advice, you know, on the side. But I'm the one who's actually contacting the musician for the composer for the instrumental, and I'm also in contact with the tuner and timer person. I sent them all the files and to get it done, and then I'm gonna contact the video person after. So I'm pulling it all together as the official project manager. But she and Nami drop their thoughts. She and Nami drop their thoughts every time we need feedback. And we brainstorm the outfits and stuff together, basically. Yeah. But actually I'm doing the work part. Just try to get it together, you know? I think I was just kind of thinking about how my birthday stuff was almost late, so I really want to pull stuff together quickly. I want to pull stuff together really quickly. Hope you two and she do another collab sometime. Yeah, definitely. We'll be doing a bunch of collabs around 1 year anniversary actually, so yeah. Project manager Lua. I've done project management stuff before, but I'm actually not a very good project manager because I'm too nice about deadlines. I'll be like, oh, you can't get this done on time. That's okay. How much time do you need? So then things don't run on time. Because I work with like all these designer people always need a lot of time, okay? And then I would just ask, okay, how much time do you need? And they always ask for a lot of time. And then the project just gets shifted. So then I'm actually not a very good project manager. So I don't do project management stuff anymore. I mean, I know how it works. I'm not a very firm project manager, and I don't follow up on stuff like nearly enough. Point out everything wrong someone idea doing and just leave. I want Lua to be my boss. Project manager Lua ASMR scenarios? You mean being a bad project manager? I don't know. I thought you'd be able to crack a whip. No, I'm actually really nice, so I don't do that. Yeah, they yeah, you know, if you ask somebody how much time they need, they always need an indefinite amount of time, exactly. So so then the timeline gets shifted forever. I try to be firm, but then I feel bad about it, so I'm not that firm. So yeah. All right, guys. I really should go rest. I've talked for 2 hours, as always. I went on and on. The whip is just for the M chat, the people who asked for it, right? Only grab my whip to my chat. Just for you. I do project management, but it's against my natural personality. Right. I don't know why I got assigned into project management. It makes no sense. You and she synergize like that? Yeah, I can, no worries. I can help she with the organizing. Yeah. Thank you for spending time with us. Yeah, no worries. No worries. Thank you for spending time with me. Good talk. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Wisdom tooth reveal and probably just a much longer Zasadan tomorrow. More chatting tomorrow as I go on stream. Yep. See you guys later. Talk to you later. Bye bye. Bye bye. How do I stop this?